Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
So we are in the last week of the Name Above All series. And what you might have noticed, if you were watching that, is that there's a whole lot of other names that are throughout Scripture. And I would encourage you, if this is something that has really piqued your interest, to continue to dive deep into the names of God. Because in those names, we find out who God truly is. And what we've said all along in this series is that the way you see God determines the way you live your life. And that is so important, that we live our lives in a manner that is worthy of the name above all names. And what we've asked as we've gone through this series is that if this is who God is, what does it mean to follow him? That's what we're going to dive into today. And today's name requires a lot. If you just kind of blew in here, this one's serious. Lock in, because Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, the Lord who is more than enough, who sees, it requires a lot from those who would follow him. And so this week, you know, throughout this series, we've looked at a whole list of names, right? Elohim, Jehovah, Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. If you haven't written these down, if you haven't committed these to memory, I would highly encourage you, take a picture of that and really utilize these names in your everyday life. Because as you go through life, you are going to be, encounter situations that would require you to call upon the name above all names. And especially as we look at this final name that we're going to look at today, it's just Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And when you think about provision, you think about the stuff we need, and a lot of times the stuff we want. I'm going to do something that in my family is frowned upon. I'm going to call out one of my family members because, well, he's my only son, and he's 21 today, and he's hating this. Yeah, I know. We should applaud. He survived 21 years. They didn't give him more than 15, but no, it's, no. He's been wonderful. He's awesome. He's great. We love him. And, you know, gifts, right? Birthdays. My mom has, you know, we moved to Michigan, so it's kind of far away to just make it for every birthday because I have a lot of kids. So what she does, she's developed this thing where she gives them a call, and then they talk on the phone, and she says, okay, I've got Amazon pulled up. What do you want? Which is great. I love it. Mom, fantastic. Good call. My mom, though, something you have to know about her is that she loves to give gifts that are strange. For a long time, she was the dollar store queen, right? Everybody had a pair of those American flip-flops that you find at the dollar store, and they were horrible. And we told her that. So this is not a surprise to her if she's watching this. But what my mom also loves to do is she wants you to give you the gift that you want, but then she loves to chunk in something that you need, right? All my life, I was getting stuff that I didn't really want, but I needed them. And what was funny is when Jackson got the present that was delivered a couple days ago, he asked for a hoodie, really cool little Carhartt hoodie, because, you know, he's a guy, and that's a manly thing. She threw in a pack of socks. And he was like, what? I was like, that's not a man. She wants to make sure your feet are taken care of. Because she wants to make sure that you have what you need. Even though you didn't realize you needed a pair of socks. She made sure you, and that, listen, that was my life. Underwear and socks all the time. And when I moved out, it was a problem because I was like, who buys my underwear and socks now? Me? Who does that? But, you know, and so I started thinking about that. Like, that's kind of ridiculous. But then I started thinking about how the Lord provides in so many other ways. You know, right now we're looking and taking resumes for a new position here at Bethany Bible Church for youth and discipleship. And we are trusting in the Lord that he already knows who he's going to bring. We know that he's going to provide. And so our responsibility is to pray, to trust him for that, to reveal who that man might be. And we know that in his timing, he will. And we're not going to get ahead of him. That's the greatest challenge, is to get ahead of what God wants to do, we want to be patient. And we know that Jehovah Jireh will provide in just the right time. And every one of us has wrestled with a question regarding provision in our lives, right? Does God really know what I need in this moment? How could God, the God of the universe, know what I need in this moment? And will he really come through because I need him to? Can I trust him with my future? These are the questions that we ask. And then a lot of times we wait and we start to ask, is he ever going to answer? What we need to understand in today is that the heart of all of those questions, the thing that is the deeper issue, what we're really asking is, can I trust God? Can I trust him? And so today, what I want us to know more than anything else is that Jehovah Jireh reminds us that God sees our greatest need, and he has already provided the perfect sacrifice. A lot of times what we think we need, that's what we're asking for. But then as time goes on and as we become more confident in the God that we serve, we recognize that he has already provided us with our greatest need. See, most people hear Jehovah Jireh and they think about God's provision of finances or jobs or a relationship or just any type of material need. And God certainly does and can provide those things. So wherever you are and whatever your need is that you're praying for, continue to pray for that. But what we're going to see as we dive into Genesis chapter 22 today is that something incredibly deeper is at work here. This story that we're going to look at ultimately is not about God providing something to Abraham. It's about God providing someone. And so we're going to really dive into this because it all starts with an incredible test of Abraham. God is testing Abraham's trust and obedience. So look with me in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Now, if this is your first visit to a church, right? If you're watching online, you're just checking out church, and this is the first scripture that you've ever heard, you're going, I knew it. They're messed up. Their God is asking them to sacrifice the son, an only son. Hang with this, okay? I promise it gets better. These are shocking words to Abraham, right? Isaac is the promised son. He's the one whom God made a covenant with Abraham, saying that I am going to bless you and your family throughout generations. He is a miracle, right? He's born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, far past their childbearing years. And again, more than that, he is Abraham's only son with Sarah, the wife he loved. Everything that God promised to him was attached to Isaac. And now God is asking Abraham to surrender him to him. And one of the most remarkable details in this story is found in verse 3. It's in Abraham's response. Look with me in verse 3. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. Now, I imagine, thinking about my only son, if God said, here's what I want you to do, I need you to sacrifice your only son, I'm not sure I would have gotten a lot of sleep that night. I'm sure that Abraham tossed and turned. And a lot of times in the big decisions and the big obedience moments that God calls us to, there is that anxiety, that the questioning, the nervousness about what you're about to do. Abraham probably debated on whether or not to tell Sarah. And let's face it, doesn't have it written in scripture, but I don't think he told her. Because this was her only son too. And I've been married long enough to know how that conversation would go. And Abraham certainly had also. But what's amazing is that next morning as the sun comes up, there is no delay in Abraham's obedience. No bargaining, no going back to God saying, listen, did you really mean Isaac? I got a goat here that is begging for a killing. But he didn't do any of that. He didn't try to negotiate. He just was obedient. And how often do you know what to do? It's clear as day, but you start negotiating. You start hesitating. You start going back to God, asking him, are you sure? Is this really what you want? When the answer is clear as day, how often are you unlike Abraham who just got up and went? Right? I've had to learn this throughout the years. I still struggle with it. That we want to make sure that what we're doing is God's design for us and it is certainly his calling. But a lot of times our hesitation is less on knowing what God really wants and more on if I'm ready to do it. And Abraham shows us that obedience is all about just taking that step forward and trusting God. Verse 4 says, on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Think about that for a second. 3 days, Abraham has wrestled with this reality. 3 days, he's had to think about what's going to happen when they get to the top of the mountain. He's had to wonder what does this look like? If I go up to the top of this mountain and sacrifice Isaac, how do I come back? How's God going to restore what he's already promised? Has he changed his mind? Every step towards that mountain in Moriah was a step deeper into trusting God with all his heart. I mean, just imagine the questions that Moses had to have running through his head. And then imagine those moments of silence as they just walked footstep upon footstep upon footstep up that mountain. And imagine the prayers that Abraham had to be throwing up to God. Are you sure? Is this what you want? Lord, I trust you, but is there any other way? And a lot of us have probably experienced that three-day journey. That time in between the yes and the time when you arrive at where God has called you to. It's a season, right? That season where God seems silent because he's already told you what to do and now you have to follow in obedience. Or maybe it was a season where you've been praying for God to provide and he has delayed in his response. Or perhaps the circumstances of your life just don't seem to make sense. We've all been in those circumstances where the journey makes us question whether we're right about this act of obedience or if God has changed his mind. Because oftentimes in the journey, we don't understand what God is doing. And that's got to be where Abraham is. In this moment, he's making this journey in full faith and in confidence in God, but he doesn't know what it looks like at the end. And what that reminds us is that faith, the faith that we're called to, is not proven when everything makes sense, right? God doesn't give us turn-by-turn directions. He oftentimes gives us a directive, and then he says, move in that direction, and I'll show you where I want you to go as you continue to move forward, right? Faith is proven when God seems silent and you continue to trust him anyway. That's what faith is all about. And so as we get back to the story, we hit one of those incredibly emotional moments that we don't want to breeze by because it's powerful in what Abraham says. Verse 5, stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Now, again, Isaac asked that question that he's been holding on to for 3 days, right? That's been his journey. It's quiet. He knows dad's a little off, and he's looking around, putting things together, that there's wood. We know we're heading to do a sacrifice, but I don't see the thing that we're sacrificing. And this is the question that clearly Abraham is already feeling. And honestly, it's the question that many of us ask also as we're going through this life. Where is God's provision in all of this? Where's his purpose? What about the promise that he's made to constantly be faithful to me? And we get to this point in life where we go, where is God in all of this? As life churns and seasons of turmoil come and challenges and oppression, we often ask, where is God in all of this? And we need to remember what Abraham responded. Look in verse 8. He responds to his son, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. And they both walked on together. Did you catch that? Did you catch his response? Abraham doesn't know how. He doesn't know when, and he doesn't know what God is going to do, but he knows who God is. Faith is not about knowing a plan. Faith is trusting the provider of that plan. And Hebrews gives us more insight into Abraham's thought process and his faith in this whole thing. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it says, It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. See, Abraham trusted that somehow, some way, God was going to be who he always is, which is faithful. Faithful to his promises, faithful to his people, even in the midst of death, even in the midst of uncertainty and silence. Now, Abraham didn't have any evidence of this, right? This is early on in Scripture. There's no recorded evidence of anyone being brought back to life again. But Abraham knew that God could do it. And he had faith that God was going to be, again, faithful. Because as he always is, God is going to provide at just the right moment. Look with us in verse 9. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Now, again, if you're new to Scripture, you're at this point relieved, right? That was unbelievable, incredible. How could that guy have gotten this close to killing his son? Thank goodness God showed up just at the right time. And hey, what an amazing occurrence that the ram happened to be there so that they could substitute that sacrifice. It is a great story, but there is so much that we can pull from this when we look at who God is in the midst of this. And I want us to really notice something important regarding the ram. It was already there. God knew what he was going to do. That ram was on a journey of its own up that mountain for whatever the reason. I don't know why ram do what they do. Abraham just couldn't see it. God's provision was present before Abraham even recognized it. And how many times has God already been working before we ever became aware of it? Because the same God who stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac and provided the ram in that perfect moment is still the same God who in your deepest moment of need has already provided exactly what you need. He's waiting for you to be faithful to him, to trust in him. Think about all the times that you've spent worrying about whatever it is. And all the while, on the other side of it, you look back and you realize that God was preparing perfect provision for you in the midst of it all. He's always ahead of us. His delays are not an absence. They're an evidence of his constant working, right? The ram didn't appear because Abraham had enough faith. The ram appeared because God is faithful. Our confidence is not in the strength of our faith. Our confidence is in the character of our God. That's what we have to remember every day, in every step along the way, in our journey. And Jehovah Jireh means that God sees. Look in verse 14. So all of this has happened, and now Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. We say Jehovah Jireh, and we've talked about how we got from Yahweh to Jehovah. But Abraham calls the place the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. That is incredibly important. The Hebrew word for provide here, it carries the idea of seeing. In fact, some of your translations might say the Lord sees or the Lord sees ahead. But what does God see? God sees our need. He sees the problem. He sees the future. He sees the solution, all before we do. I want you to write a passage of scripture down, Psalm 139. I've been meditating on this passage this week, and it is rich with goodness of all that God knows. In this passage, we see that every day of your life, God is with you. Every burden you carry, he is walking alongside of you. Every struggle that you face, every need that you have, nothing about our life surprises him or catches him off guard. When we can't see the road ahead, God can. And when we don't understand it, God does. And watch this. The greatest significance of Genesis 22 points beyond Abraham, beyond Isaac. Many scholars believe that there on that mountain in the land of Moriah, that's the same region where Jerusalem would later stand. Centuries later, God the Father would offer his only son in the same place. And when you start comparing Isaac and Jesus, it's an incredible comparison of a beloved son, a miraculous birth, who carried their own implement of sacrifice. Isaac carried the wood, Jesus carried his cross. And they willingly walked up the mountain, knowing that God would provide. I ask you to go through Psalm 139. I want you to really read that this week in the midst of whatever journey you're on, to be reminded about who God is and that he is with you and that he knows firsthand what it's like to suffer. There's one huge difference between Isaac and Jesus. On the mountain with Abraham, God stopped his hand and provided a substitute. At Calvary, God did not stop the sacrifice, because although the ram substituted for Isaac in that moment, only Jesus could be the substitute for our greatest need, our sin debt on Calvary. And this was foretold by John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This was Jesus' purpose. It was why he came to earth. Abraham was given a ram. We received the Lamb of God. Jehovah Jireh isn't ultimately about a temporary provision. It's not just our finances that God is concerned about, or our possession, or even socks. Ultimately, God's provision for humanity's greatest need is all about our forgiveness, all about our restoration, all about paying the debt that we could never pay, because we cannot save ourselves. We cannot provide what is necessary to bridge the gap between us and God. So God provided that bridge in Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the substitute in our place. He lived the life that we could never live. He died the death that we deserved. And he rose again victorious over death, over sin. And through faith in him alone, do we find forgiveness of our sins. We find a heart that is changed and transformed, and our lives that are restored, and eternity that is secured. Only in Jesus Christ do we find these things. And it's all because God saw our greatest need long before we did. And he provided his son. He didn't hold back. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal savior for the forgiveness of your sin, then before we go any further, this needs to be your next step. To accept Jesus as Savior, to accept the forgiveness that he offers, to say yes to him, to repent of your sin, and to follow him with your whole life. If that's you, I want to talk to you before you leave the service. I'll be right out in the front. Come talk to me. Grab me and say, "I want to know more about the ultimate substitute for my sin. I need forgiveness." You can do that today. Because trusting God's provision, it doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that hardship disappears. And it definitely doesn't mean that we get everything we want. But what it does mean is that God provides everything necessary to accomplish his purposes. It means that God may not always give you what you prefer, but he's always going to give you what he knows is necessary, which is forgiveness. and grace and love. That's what we all need. So here's what I want us to do with this week. Our head, heart, and hands. With your head, I want you to understand. I want you to see that your greatest need has already been provided through Jesus Christ. We have to understand that first, and it should drive us every day. Now, many of us in here are already Christ followers. You logically know that. But it means that we also, the heart part of this is that we need to trust him fully in his provision, not demand that he provides those things on our terms. We need to get our passion right in regards to who God is and what my responsibility is in following him. It means trusting in his provision. So we need to ask ourselves, where are we struggling? Are we struggling in to trust him in our finances, to trust him in our family, in our relationships, and in our job, in our future, in our health, maybe even on our ministry? And remind ourselves that he is enough and he provides exactly when we need it. And then with our hands this week, what I want us to do is to practice grateful trust, to take our next step in faith, whatever it is, right? Just start each day by thanking God for just one way that he has provided for you. We don't take enough time to stop and give thanks for the good things that he has done. We ask God for things all the time, and then he answers, and then we just keep moving on. We don't stop to say thanks. So do that this week. Be grateful in our trusting of him. And remind ourselves that he is our provider. He loves us, and he gives us exactly what we need. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is all of the names that we have studied over the course of the last few weeks. And here's what I hope you've learned throughout this series. This series is never simply to be about learning the names of God, although it's important to understand that with our head knowledge. It's about to know the God behind the names, the God who sees us and knows us and shapes who we are, that we should allow to shape us. The God who created everything is the same God who provides for our greatest need. And it should affect every day that we walk on this earth. Our lives should be a display of his goodness to the world around us. That's my heart for this series. So go back, listen to the messages. If you missed one, go back and listen to it. They're on YouTube, they're on the podcast, wherever you want to find it, it's there. I'll send you a link if you can't find them. But be reminded of who God is and how that should shape every moment of every day of our lives. Because he is a good, good God who loves us and provides more than enough than we could ever ask or imagine. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your provision, for Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the great I am, the one who went to the cross in our place, who lived a life that we couldn't live and died the death that we should have died. Lord, you provided for our greatest need by sending your only son. We thank you for that, Father, and we trust in the resurrection that brings life, that brings forgiveness, that brings eternity. Lord, may that truth shape us into who you want us to be so that the world might see you in us. That is our desire, Father. That is our heart, and we pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.